Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today with a very different taste of the 2016 campaign trail. John Kasich is doing his thing in New Hampshire today. Chris Christie is campaigning in Iowa along with several other candidates. Rand Paul and Scott Walker earlier this week visited my home state of Pennsylvania. But for this story, we have to go to one very specific corner of PA.
Howard's from Philly, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go with a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
But prep him on how to order it. No Swiss, no Munster. He gets it with sauce and whiz.
Whiz?
Cheese whiz. Ask Howard.
Many have tried, and very few have succeeded, apparently. Governor Scott Walker joins the latest in a long line of political figures who failed to properly order a Philly cheesesteak at two of Philly's most iconic sandwich shops. Now, Walker is charged with ordering American cheese on his Philly cheesesteak instead of the more traditional cheese whiz. And it was a mistake that's viewed by many in the Philadelphia populace as a potential deal breaker for their support. But not everyone.
Scott Walker did absolutely nothing wrong.
That is my friend Jeffrey Young. He's a reporter at the Huffington Post, and more importantly right now, a very opinionated Philly native.
Well, it's true that, you know, sometimes these little mini gaffes can have an impact on a campaign. They make a candidate look out of touch or make it look like they don't care that much or know that much about the place where they're trying to convince voters that they absolutely love. But in this case, ordering American cheese and no onions on a cheesesteak is a perfectly legitimate order. And I say this as somebody who's never had onions on my cheesesteak because I think onions are disgusting. Now, having said all of that, I still think it was bogus when John Kerry tried to order Swiss cheese on his cheesesteak when he was running for president.
Well, for real answers, there's only one man to go to. He's Dan Pashman. He's host and creator of WNYC's podcast, The Sporkful. And he says politicians should forget the pantomime of regional authenticity in political campaigns and go for a novel concept. Order what they like.
Well, I think with any regional food, the region that creates the food has a right to lay out the boundaries of what defines that food, what is or is not a Philly cheesesteak. And if you look at the menus of all the top most famous cheesesteak places in Philly, they offer three cheese options: Cheese Whiz, American, and Provolone. Now, it's true that Cheese Whiz is considered by many to be the sort of quote-unquote most authentic. But to me, as long as all these places offer American and provolone as options, American's okay.
And without onions.
They make a big deal out of this sticky thing in Philly where you say wit if you want onions, as in with onions.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have a term for it if it was not a valid choice.
Indeed.
They would just put the onions on and you would have to say, oh, please hold the onions. So there is a choice to be made there, which means that either choice is acceptable within the canon. This is where I think that a region's authority ends in terms of dictating these sorts of terms. Philly can say Swiss is not an acceptable cheese to put on a Philly cheesesteak, but they can't say that Swiss cheese on a steak sandwich is not delicious. A Philly cheesesteak with Swiss cheese would probably taste really good.
And it raises another key point as somebody who's from Pennsylvania, by the way. I'm not from Philly, but close by, and I know my share of politics. I always wonder about these gaffe stories, because if I'm in Philly and Scott Walker from Wisconsin comes and orders a cheesesteak wrong, I say, yeah, because he's not from Philly. He's not from here.
Right.
Why would he get it right? But it's this need to have a transmitted sense of authenticity, even from people who aren't from our town. We need to think that they get us. I'm making scare quotes there. What is that?
Authenticity is a huge barometer by which people judge political candidates. And there's this sort of bizarre dance that goes on where politicians have to perfect the art of pretending to be authentic.
And food is a huge part of that for a lot of people.
Absolutely, because it's a regional thing and different regions take pride in the dishes that they're famous for. And they want to see that you're sort of showing them that you're a quote unquote real person. But the truth is that, like, if you're just being truly authentic and true to yourself and the person that you are, you might just not like onions. Which is more authentic, to pretend to want it the exact way that people in Philly say you're supposed to want it, or to actually want it the way you actually want it?
There's a sort of self-fulfilling panderism involved in this, because when you enforce a draconian code of authenticity, you get what you ask for. And when it comes to food, something that people take really, really personally, and they're going to laugh and point at you if you do it wrong, you're going to get exactly what you ask for.
Totally. Well, and it always drives me crazy when a politician gets out of office or loses an election. I remember this happened with Al Gore after he lost and he started giving these impassioned fire and brimstone speeches. Same thing's happened more recently with Mitt Romney. And people, you know, these guys who were labeled as stiff in the campaign, then they're not campaigning and the sort of chatter in classes all say, where was this guy during the campaign? And it's like, you beat this guy into submission by forcing him to order the cheesesteak that you thought he should order instead of letting him order the cheesesteak he wanted.
Now, back during the last campaign, you know, it brings to mind a quote that was attributed to Mitt Romney, not really a gaffe, but kind of a campaign moment. People made fun of him. He tasted some lemonade at the fair or wherever he was, and his response was, lemon, wet, good. It seems very honest to me.
Right.
Accurate as can be. Dan, you've been talking to some people who kind of give a rundown from the ground about what it means to order a cheesesteak in Philly.
Yeah, that's right. We did a Sporkful podcast episode a couple months ago called This Is Your Brain on Cheesesteak. I ran around the city, got a bunch of Philly food, and took it to a sensory scientist to learn, like, why does cheesesteak taste so good to us? And I interviewed one African-American guy at a cheesesteak shop, Sonny's, which was delicious. And this is what he told me about cheese preferences in the city.
As an African-American male living in Philadelphia, I have to say American cheese is the way to go. Essentially, I believe that the white man has a predisposition towards cheese whiz. The African-American male, some reason, we can only eat American cheese, man.
So you think that Philly cheesesteak preferences break down along racial lines?
It gets that serious.
So, Dan Pashman, here's the key question now. What should Scott Walker do for his campaign to recover from this horrible, horrendous, presidential aspiration-killing gaffe? It seems to me he needs to come out of this terrible moment for his campaign and declare, hey, I was honest. I like it the way I like it. I'm not going to pander to people in Philly. And the people of Philadelphia will understand when I don't try to be one of them and order it some way because they want me to. I'm a real candidate.
I think that would be a great approach. I think the best way for him to do that is to embrace his Wisconsin roots. What I would do if I were him is I would get some cheese curds from Wisconsin, and I would show up at a Philly cheesesteak place, and I would say, I want one cheesesteak, hold the cheese, which is like the most ridiculous thing you could say at a Philly cheesesteak joint. Then take the steak sandwich and add his own cheese from Wisconsin to say, look, I'm proud of where I'm from. I love the cheese in my home state.
And this is how we do.
And this is how we do it. You know, and now that sandwich doesn't exist in Wisconsin. But like, the point is that would be showing real local pride.
It does exist. And you know what it's called?
What?
It's called the Walker. That's Dan Pashman, who's the host of The Sporkful on WNYC. You can subscribe to The Sporkful podcast on iTunes.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.